of saving the world. Rather than Mr. Flashy, Jesus wanted him to be Mr. Obedient. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. The second would be disciple. It's more interesting. I actually call this disciple Mr. Chicken, and I'll explain to you why I call him Mr. Chicken. The interesting thing is this. When we go on to read that particular text, after the encounter with the first would-be disciple, the next one goes on to describe how Jesus said to another man, "Follow me." Two simple words, "Follow me." But the man responded, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." First, let me go and bury my father. Jesus replied to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." How do we come to understand this particular episode? Let the dead bury the dead. Many commentators will tell you that Jesus means to say, let the spiritually dead bury their own physical dead. But even with this particular explanation, I have to tell you, this is the one that puzzled me the most. This is the one that puzzled me the most, and I have to wrestle with it. What kind of a teacher is Jesus? When someone is trying to be, and this is the Chinese saying, right? When someone is trying to be a filial pious son, let me say in Chinese first, and I'll say it in English again. I want to be a filial pious son, especially a Jew. They want to observe the law and be a filial pious son. Why can't I do that? Let me explain, not explain, let me speak to you from the other end of the equation as an individual who has happened to be in this situation. And Brother Lewis was praying for my health and for Reverend Chu's health, and I want to thank him and thank you for that. 2 years ago, about this time, I underwent surgery to remove part of my jaw, all cavity cancer. At that time, my younger daughter, Agnes, was she was supposed to be in South Asia, committing her 2-year stint as a short-term missionary. Or medium-term missionary. When she found out that I had cancer, she came back to stay with us as a family to show support. And as we went through that struggle together, she too was struggling as to why, as she committed herself to mission field, and then something happened in the back end that creates such a burden on her life that she had to come back. And we as a family struggle, is this the right thing to do, right? Because you come in, you go. But I tell you that, I don't think Jesus is that mean. I think Jesus saw through this second, what I call would-be disciple's intention. And he offered that as an excuse. Because as my own experience can tell you, God was gracious and still is gracious to me, to my younger daughter, and to my whole family. She ended up going back to the mission field after a month or so. She was actually struggling on whether she wanted to quit and stay with us. And we said, go. The Lord be with you. And I think the Lord honors that. And if I put myself in that, Jesus, why wouldn't you let my daughter come back see me? I don't think Jesus is that mean. You see, I think if we understand that this is, as I said, it's a kind of an excuse. First of all, when we come to look at this particular text, this man, when Jesus called him to follow him, it's not with his family. It's not with his family. It's not likely his father is already dead. Had his father been already dead, he would have been already with his family. And Jesus would not have come to encounter him. Right? He must have heard the first exchange that Jesus had with the first would-be disciple and realized that there is indeed a cost in following Jesus. But not wanting to reject Jesus outright, he comes up with a scenario of his father having passed away. Because he knows that as a Jew, if that is the case, he must first observe the law by attending the funeral. Only an excuse. Because he is simply too afraid to pay the price. If we call the first would-be disciple as someone who doesn't know what he doesn't know, the second would-be disciple knows what he knows, but he doesn't like it. Or, turn it around, we call him as someone who say, I like the cost, but I don't like the cost. I like the cost, but I don't like the cost. That's why they call him Mr. Chicken. It's chicken a little bit. It's scared. Now, to be told, I'm not as experienced as someone perhaps like Reverend Chu, who has been pastoring in the church for a long time, but I do have my own share of experience of visiting different churches. I would say to you, this is the type of Christian that I have found the most in Christian churches. You see, in the church, many would get involved, but few are committed. Many would get involved, but few are actually committed. But Jesus warns us to be all in. Not to be Mr. Chicken, but to be Mr. Committed. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Because Jesus wants all or nothing. Jesus wants all or nothing. We cannot be half-baked. We must be fully roasted. Ah, another turkey image. You don't like that, do you? You don't like that. I can see you smile now. See, that is the difference between getting involved and being committed. You heard about the story about chicken and pig, right? You haven't heard about this story before? You see, when you come to have breakfast, what do you see? Eggs and ham. For the chicken, all she needs to do is to lay down the egg so she is involved. But for the pig, the pig is fully committed because he needs to die first in order to provide his own meat as either bacon or ham. Jesus wants us to be fully committed. He wants us to be all in. We must not be Mr. Chicken. We need to be Mr. Committed. If the first would-be disciple is someone who doesn't know what he doesn't know, and the second is someone who knows what he knows but doesn't like it, how do we come to understand the third disciple or would-be disciple then? I want to assure you that this is no fun here, because the third disciple can be described as what I call, I know what I don't know, so I need a safety net, i.e. family support. I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Now, he is like the second would-be disciple. He is like the second would-be disciple. He must have heard the exchange between Jesus, the first two would-be followers. And before Jesus even say, follow me, see, the third one is different. The third one jumped right in. The first one offered, all right, I want to follow you no matter where you go. The second one, Jesus did say, follow me. The third one jumps right in. Jumps right in. So before you say anything, before you call me now, let me preempt your action. Let me say this. I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. How do we come to describe this would-be follower? I call him Mr. Hesitant. he's Mr. Hesitant because he's intimidated by the unknown in following Jesus. No place to sleep, being a radical, not to conform to the current Jewish tradition of tending to the dead, which is equivalent to going against the current social norms. And that would be weirdo, right? That would be a weirdo. You see, the experience of following Jesus is not like a transaction. You do certain things and you receive certain blessings. It is a journey of lifelong devotion. As in any other journey, there will be ups and there will be downs. The journey is not a strict path. As I said earlier, at times it can be a long and winding road that we ask to engage in. And without a doubt, there will be what I call 3D effect. 3D effect. Doubts, desire for trade-off, and finally, distraction. What disciples need to do is to keep clarity about the purpose and the focus. So Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Jesus is using an imagery that the Jews would understand in their lifetime to understand what it takes to really finish the job of plowing a field. Now, how do we come to understand this particular sort of parables or imagery? I read upon a Sunday school teacher who comes up with a game to illustrate this point. In a Sunday school class, he called upon two kids who want to volunteer to be following the leader. So two kids put up their hands, and let's say John and Peter comes up. Sunday school teacher said, "Hey, John, today you are the leader. Peter, you are the follower. So Peter, your job is to follow. John, your job is to lead. And no matter where you go, Peter, you must follow. So let's give it a try. So you walk around the classroom and Peter follows." So John and Peter just walk around the room and Peter keep following. Right? And then the teacher says, "So stop. Let us swap the roles. Now, Peter, you be the leader. John, you be the follower. This time, I want you to do exactly what John did. And that is, your job is to lead. John, here's something else I want you to do. Your job is not just simply to follow, but I want you to turn your back and follow. Turn your head. Now, Peter lead. John, follow. John couldn't follow. Why? You know why. Because John couldn't see where Peter was going. And I find this illustration very, very inspiring. Because that's exactly what Jesus is telling us. That's exactly what Jesus is telling us. When we come to follow Jesus, yes, there will be 3D effect. There will be doubt. There will be a desire to trade off, and there will be distraction. But our job is to find that clarity of purpose and focus. Singular focus is required to keep on following up with the pace. But I suspect that the hesitation sometimes has nothing to do, or maybe not simply to do, with distractions and doubt, but perhaps it has something to do with fear, loss of our control, safety, and comfort. You see, following Christ means taking risk. Following Christ means taking risk. And only in so doing, we are going to truly experience the richness of his life. Now, I'm reminded by a song written by A.B. Simpson. You know who A.B. Simpson is, right? The founder of our denomination, Christian and Missionary Alliance. The song is called "The Mercy of God Is an Ocean Divine," or AKA launch out into the deep. And please do not confuse me. I'm not talking about Adele rolling into the deep. Now I know you smile because you know who Adele is. In this song, Simpson is describing how some people want to follow Christ but only lingering on the shore. Or others merely tiptoeing in the water without moving deeper into the ocean. But to be Christ's true disciples, we need to let go of everything and take a brave dive into the deep. The last verse of this song goes like this. Oh, let us launch out on this ocean so broad, where flood of salvation overflow. Oh, let us be lost in the mercy of God, till the depth of His fullness we know. And the chorus say this, and let us sing if you know how to sing this. 1, 2, 3. Launch out into the deep, oh, let the shoreline go. Launch out in the ocean divine, out where the full tides flow. Oh, you know what? We've been singing too many hill songs. We forget about A.B. Simpsons. So let us try one more time. This is just the chorus. I'm not asking you to sing four verses. This is just the chorus, guys. Let us stand and sing this song together. Launch out into the deep. Oh, let the shoreline go. Launch out in the ocean divine. Oh, where the full tides flow. Launch out into the deep. Oh, let the shoreline go. Launch out in the ocean divine. Out where the full tides flow. Out where the full tides flow. Out where the full tides flow. You see, Jesus warned us not to be Mr. Hesitant. He wants us to take risk. And when we say taking risk, we do not mean there is no safety, because our safety net is Jesus Christ Himself. This morning we talked about the last section of Luke 9. We look at how Jesus exchanged His requirements or His demand of following Him with three would-be disciples. The first one wanted to follow because of celebrity effect, the blessing he wants. He wants to be benefited by the halo consequences. But he simply does not know what he does not know, the true meaning of the cause of following Jesus. He's Mr. Flashy, and he needs to be Mr. Obedient. The second one understands the cause, but he doesn't like it. He's Mr. Chicken, but he needs to be Mr. Committed. The last one knows that he doesn't quite know what the consequences of following Jesus, but he seeks a safety net of family support. Let me go back and say to the family, and in fact, Jesus knows that when he's gone, he is gone. He is Mr. Hesitation, but he needs to be risk-taking. You see, Jesus responds to each of them with clear explanation. Count the cost. Live simply. Not to be distracted. Take a deeper dive. Take a deep and full dive into the richness and the experience of following Christ with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. The question to us this morning is, will we? Will we? Finally, let's end the sermon with the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And while the team is coming up, let me just read what I come up with in terms of the background of this song, because I don't think many of us understand this. I have decided to follow Jesus is a Christian hymn that originated in India. It was written by Simon Marak from Assam, India. However, according to Dr. Job, the lyrics are based on the last words of Luke Sang, a guru man, a tribe from Mahanaya, which then was in Assam, who along with his family decided to follow Christ Jesus in the middle of the 19th century through the effort of an American Baptist missionary called to renounce his faith by the village chief. The convert declared, "I have decided to follow Jesus." His two children were killed, and in response to threats to his wife, he continued, "Though no one join me, still I will follow." His wife was killed, and he was executed while singing, "The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. I have decided to follow Jesus."
Please stand with us.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Standing for the doxology.
May God Himself the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept, be blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, and thank you for joining our worship this morning, and I want to extend my warmest welcome to those who are visiting our church for the first time, and we want to welcome you, and thank you for joining us. And before the announcement, I also like to thank Dr. Enoch Wong for delivering the powerful message to us this morning, and his lovely wife, Helen, is also with us this morning. And be sure to welcome them after the worship. Okay, let's take a look at the announcement. Two announcements from the elders' board. One is that the church litigation process has finally settled on a consent basis last week. The elders' board wants to thank all those who show their care and provide their feedback in the past. And the second one is Reverend Tam has been serving as our voluntary consulting pastor since May, and his service will be concluded by end of the year. The church wants to thank Reverend Tam for his help during this challenging time. Next one, Pastor Alice Chen will be off between December 18th to 21st. And if the last couple months, 2 or 3 months ago, if you picked up a piggy bank from the church and has been feeding it regularly, it is time for you to bring it back. The fundraising committee will set up a collection booth at the foyer today and next week to collect the piggy bank money. If you need a donation receipt, You can validate the amount with them. They will issue a tax receipt. And Christmas Eve celebration will be held on, you guessed it, Christmas Eve. From 7:30 to 9 o'clock, the theme for this year is the greatest gift of all. So please come and join us to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. And there will be a year-end special Thanksgiving offering on December 31st. Please pray about it. And also on the Christmas, on the